We'll go ahead and take up prayer request. Change it up a little bit. Brother Stewart. All right, this is Brother Crafton, and of course, Elder Brother Stewart. Brother Fisher. Okay, remember the Dotson men. Yes. Brother Golden up in Wichita, a possible stroke. Remember him. Sure, let's remember Brother Michael Smith. He's, I think, where's his wife? He's in St. Louis. He'll be back tomorrow. They're going to teach him how to make more money. It's always something good to learn, ain't it? If he figures it out, maybe he'll share it with us. Also remember Luke. And Sister Oates' son. That it, Brother Painter. Brother David Angelo, of course, he's a standing request there. Anybody got an update on him? No. Got Brother McGowan and Sister Holly still out of town. Hurst. Okay, let's remember him. You never know on Facebook, but that's for sure. Okay. All right, we'll definitely remember him. Yes. That's your niece. All right. Just remember Brother Tally's niece. The niece's family. I'm sorry. Pardon me. That it? Brother Daniel's body needs a touch in his body. We all got something on our hearts that we could pray for, don't we? Got a family, a loved one, we're going to do this now. There's lots going on in this old world, ain't there? Lots going on in our lives. Our young people are hitting that age of maturity to where they're looking out to strike out on their own. I still remember what that was like. And I ask that you pray for our young people. Keep them in your prayers. It's a very tedious time that they are privileged to live in. I remember as I was growing up, the people were telling me the same things, that the times you're living in are so much different than the times we grew up in, but it has really gotten different. But I know God can keep his hand on them. I'm praying that God will help them find themselves in all that they're doing. God has a way of taking people in a roundabout way to bring them back to where he wants them to be. I really believe that. I'll continue my talk later, but I guess if we'll all just take this to the Lord. Let's remember the service tonight. So I'll just stand and take our prayer request to the Lord. Remember this offering. Thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. Appreciate you, Lord. I ask you to remember your people. Touch us here this evening, Lord. Touch our service. Hallelujah. Oh, God, Lord, would you come in this evening, Lord, and help us. Direct us, Lord, and touch your ministries. Oh, God, Brother Daniels, Lord, touch him, Lord. Brother Angelo, Lord, would you touch his body and help him. Remember all your people, Lord, the needs that we have, Lord, in this fleshly body. dear Savior. I thank you, Lord, for your mercies. Oh, God, touch Luke, Lord. Deal with his heart. Touch him, Lord. Praise your holy name. Remember Brother Fisher's upcoming wedding, Lord. Cover him. Cover it. Hallelujah. Praise your sweet name, Lord. We love you, Savior. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.
service as we were getting ready to pray and take up offering, and just the Spirit, as I walked in, it was such a good Spirit, and I'm thankful for that. And clearly the Lord's asking us tonight who will follow Him, and I want to say tonight, Lord, I'll follow You. Amen. You know, whether I'm going through the valley or I'm going up the mountain or I'm on the mountain, Lord, I'm still going to follow You, and I want Him to know that. And whatever decisions and paths I take in my life, and as Brother Pryor mentioned, those who are like graduating high school and going on like that, whatever decisions you're making in life, just remember to consider the Lord. And I didn't have a whole lot going on in my mind, but I just want to say I'm thankful for the Spirit that we feel here tonight. And I appreciate those songs and the band number. And I'm thankful to be here.
To see that the Gravel Ridge Baptist Church took a stand against gays and they're withdrawing their support from the Boy Scouts since they're accepting gays, so at least it's good to see they're taking a stand. And this past Sunday in Conway had the annual gay parade, gay pride parade. So it started in 2004, and I was living up there when it started. So they had protesters, and they still have protesters. Although last year they said they did not have any protesters, but the first year they had it. There's two men that live on Center Street. They've been together for 38 years, and they live in a pink house. So the first year they had the parade, this man at the protest, he dumped a whole load of cow manure there by their by their house, so he was protesting their lifestyle. But these two men, they're hoping that they'll be the two first men married in Arkansas when we approve same-sex marriage. But I'm hoping, since this is the Bible Belt, it won't go that way. But you know, you never know it. There's already about 10 or 11, 12 states, so you never know. But anyway, hope I don't offend anybody by talking about President Obama, but I've got a neighbor that's an atheist. I mean, he thinks that President Obama is the greatest thing. He can do no wrong. I said, well, what about his honoring homosexuals? He just blew that off as nothing, you know. He said, oh, that's nothing. So anyway, he just, you know, I guess you're an atheist. You don't have any values. And so I've told some people the experience I had about two or three or four weeks ago. I've told some people here about it. Experience I had at Pizza Inn. So got there about 4 o'clock with my neighbor, and there weren't very many people there. So this man, his sister, his 91-year-old sister, comes from 6 miles north of Conway. When she got there, I said, you know, it's too bad that we have a president that honors homosexuals. And so there was a young white guy sitting there about three tables away, and he heard me say that, and he got up right in my face and he said, how rude of you to talk like that in public. He said, you're a shameful, sorry human being. He said, I'm not gay, but whatever. He took offense at it. So I guess you got to watch what you say in public. I know Brother Cole said that in Canada you can get 5 years in prison for speaking against homosexuals, so it probably will come to that later. But anyway, there's no, you know, I about decided there are no good presidents. You know, when President Clinton was president, he signed the Marriage Act as being between a man and a woman, and now he's turned around and he's for same-sex marriage. So I about decided, I wonder if we ever have had a good president in the history of this nation. I mean, we've had a lot of bad ones, but anyway, there's no kind of life like that, but living that kind of life. But you know, I got this book. I didn't know it was from atheists, and they have some good things in there besides atheism. But you know, they actually think they don't want to die, but they say that existence just is. To try to explain existence through a God, they call that mysticism. And they actually believe that through man's technology, that through stem cell research, cloning, nanotechnology, being able to, they think they're going to be able to build spare body parts where when one body part wears out, you can just replace it with another one. But that's pretty far out to believe something like that. And God put a limit on our lifespan. In the 1960s, Leonard Nafflick, he was one of the founding members of the Institute for Aging, and he found out that there's a limit as to how many times our cells can divide. And actually, there's a species of turtle, and its cells can divide twice as much as ours, so they can live to be 200 years old. But I don't think you're going to see any 200-year-old human beings walking around. Anyway, you can get in a habit, and I've gotten in a habit lately of really being thankful. You know, I don't have to think about it. It just becomes automatic to think. You know, living by myself, I got to talk to somebody, so I talk to God. And so anyway, I'm so thankful. I was went to bed Sunday night thinking about the mark of the beast, you know, and so these people out here are looking for a literal mark. And so we know that that's deceptive. We know that it's in the right hand of fellowship and in the forehead of understanding. And you know, among God's creatures, only men and women have a frontal lobe. And so it's right behind it. It's right above, it starts right above our eye sockets. So I guess, you know, all parts of our brain are important, but the frontal lobe must be special, because this man I go eat pizza with, he's got a sister that's 91 years old. When she left the other night to go to her car, we were sitting there by the window, and I was amazed how at 91 years old she can still get around. But she's got a son-in-law that's 69 years old. And 10 years ago, he was diagnosed with front lobe dementia. And when his wife goes to see him, well, finally 2 years ago, she had to put him in an institution. So when she goes to see him, he doesn't even recognize who he is. She don't know her own husband. So anyway, up until lately, they said he could get around pretty good. But the woman that eats with us said that her daughter was out, she lives in Arizona, said she was out of town recently for about a week, and when she came back, she could not believe how his condition had gone down in just a week. He used to move around. She said now he just sits there with his head down, and he doesn't move. He's helpless, and, you know, they just give him maybe till December to live. And so, you know, we have so much to be thankful for. I mean, I'm going on 71 years old. I got a neighbor that's 69 years old that used to work at the shoe factory in Conway. So he got a job with the city, and he had a desk job, I guess, 20, 25 years ago. And all he did, he became a couch potato. So now he's 69 years old, and he lives in the neighborhood there. And his he had his knee replaced, one of his knees replaced here about 2 months ago. And, you know, he can barely get around. He fell in the yard the other day, and his wife and granddaughter had to help him up. So, you know, we have so much to be thankful for. I mean, I think about, you know, I hope God would take me on before I get in the shape that Sister Rice is in, where she's up there in Conway in the nursing home, and she don't know anything. I mean, you know, she just, I hope God don't let me end my life like that. But you never know what's going to happen. But anyway, I'm on usher duty this month, and I thought I'd make it on Wednesday night. So I made it the two previous Wednesday nights because we were not having Sunday service. We could go Sunday. So, you know, I've had a resistance coming on Wednesday night, making that drive twice a week. But I hope that I can break down my resistance, and after my usher duty is over, I can get more in the habit of being here. I know I need to be here, even though it's not especially enjoyable making the trip, but anyway, we're a people that so have so much to be thankful for, and just thankful for God's blessings. I'm just thankful for this group of people and understanding we have, and you know, we can't thank God enough. That's one of the things that led Israel astray. They became unthankful, so we want to be a people that remains thankful.
Service also the songs were really good, and the first song kind of went along with what Brother Fitzsimmons was talking about this past weekend, and I was thinking who will follow Jesus, and then the band number, he's in control even when things are going wrong. He's still God. He's God on the mountain and he's God on the valley, and we need to follow him regardless how we feel. Lay our burdens down and follow him. And I appreciate those songs. They really bless me. And I want to give my appreciation, because I'm thankful for the spirit that we felt in those songs. And from this weekend, the words that we heard also. And I just want to say how much I appreciate that I'm here, that the Lord placed me in this body of people. And I thought, where could I go? So I might as well follow. Might as well stay here and follow. There's no other place like this place. Where else could you get the truths that we get here? And there's a lot of churches that you can feel the spirit, and they're good people, but you won't get the truths that we have here. And I don't want to say that against any, you know, don't want to throw off, because there's good people out there, and probably better than me, you know. So I gotta get down to business, you know, and get with it. But I wanted to say that I appreciate being here.
Too thankful to be here tonight, and I was thinking along what Dolores was saying about I will follow him and keep on going and that kind of thing, and he's in control. And I know sometimes I go to my checking account balance and go, yeah, he's in control, because I sure ain't. But whatever I'm doing ain't working, so I put my trust in him. And I was kind of thinking of that second song, now I forgot. Anyway, it was something about taking on his name. Who will come and follow Jesus, and to take on his name. And it kind of reminded me of an old story, or I guess a sermon for that matter, of Brother Molno when growing up in the Wichita church. And he used to give an example of, you know, being in the name of Jesus. And he said, you know, when my wife decides to go down to the store and write a check, what does she sign? Her name. She signs my name, because she's me. She, you know, we're together. We're one. And basically kind of making the analogy there to become one in your household, but also in becoming in the name of Jesus. And, you know, it says, we not know what we shall be, what he shall appear, but we know we will be like him. So we have to take on him. And tonight, kind of wanted to throw that in, and appreciate the opportunity that we have to become like him and to serve him and put those truths in our life that Dolores was saying, you know the truth that we hear, and to put that into practice and keep on trusting him, because I sure ain't got it figured out, but I know that he does. And I know on Wednesday night we're dragging, we're tired, we've been up at 5 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning to get stuff done. It sure is easy to stay at home. But I'm sure glad to be here tonight, to feel that spirit of the Lord to give me that lift up, to know that I will serve him. I will follow him. That's what I want to try to do, and I encourage everyone to keep on going on, and just thankful to be here tonight.
Proclaim. In other words, who will stand behind this message and really tell people what you believe and what we are striving for. And I thought how that when Harlan and I married, he went into the service, they was asking for young men. They were just begging for young men at that time to come and join the service. And of course he didn't join. They forced him, you know. Uncle Sam wrote him a letter, and he had to go, you know. So he mostly had to just go because he had to, because certainly didn't go willingly. But anyway, I thought how that you go and stand up for your country, and you even go and stand for what you believe, what your country believes. And even you face death for it, and some die. In fact, I had a brother that was killed in service. In fact, in the beginning of the war, and our own men killed him. You know what I mean? The ground crew had advanced farther than the air crew, or something to that effect. And anyway, our own people killed my brother, and. So I don't know just all about, don't remember all about it, but anyway, that happened. So, but I thought how in living for the Lord that we have to be willing to proclaim and to stand behind the things that we teach. And when people say things to us about and against what we believe, we've just got to stand for it and be what we really are. And so it's wonderful to know that. I thought tonight we sang that song with such a good feeling. I thought, well, it's wonderful that we can feel what we feel, and we know what that song means. We know what's going to happen to us because that we believe what we believe. But we still are willing to make the sacrifice. And so, but I think it's just wonderful that the Lord has called us to this wonderful teaching. I just appreciate it so much, because to know that it's so real, that we don't have to face things that's not facts. In the past, of course, I never did join a church. For some reason or other, I was you know, saved and got the Holy Ghost when I was just real young, but I just didn't feel like it's necessary to join in church, so I never did. But I'm sure that the Lord seen down the road somewhere that he would get me to go with his people. So I'm glad tonight that I'm with this people. And I'd like to say, too, that I've rejoiced this week in my soul hearing Brother Fitzsimmons speaking over the weekend. I've just thought so much of all the things that he told us, and I enjoy the history of the body. I know that we've got men that have blazed the trail for us, and I read a lot of Brother Souter's books. I've got a lot of his books and different experiences, and there's hardly a day goes by that I don't read some of them. And it thrills my soul to know that someone stood so steadfast, and they're good examples for us. And it encourages my soul. And I really did enjoy what Brother Fitzsimmons said. It was just so uplifting to know that there's a great reward for what we're doing tonight. So I just appreciate the Lord for all he's done for us, is doing for us. And so I'm just so happy that when we were singing that song, I thought, Lord, it's so wonderful that we can feel what we feel in that song, and knowing that the price that we will pay, but we're willing to pay it. So, but I just pray every day, Lord, help us. Help us all that we'll be more dedicated, be more willing to come and follow Jesus and to do what that we're supposed to do to make it. And so I know that if we'll do that, we'll certainly make it. So tonight, I appreciate this way. I thank the Lord every day for this wonderful way. And to know that this is something that you can, as the saying goes, we can sink our teeth in, and know that it's something that is so real and so precious to our souls. So tonight, I'm really thankful, and I'm just so happy for the things that we felt over the weekend, to know that, that God has got a people that we're going to be greatly persecuted, but after all, we're going to come out winners. So tonight, I appreciate the Lord for the fact that I'm here, and I'm glad that I still have a desire in my soul to be in service, regardless how I feel or anything about it. There's something about it. When church time comes, I've got to go. I've just got to go. And I don't care how I feel or anything about it. I don't like to miss church because, listen, I like to eat, and I never miss going to the table. And so I want to be at the table of the Lord. I want to feast on the Word of God. Yeah. I want it to work in my soul that one of these days that I can say that I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. So anyway, it's wonderful to be here tonight. I'm glad, though it's just a few of us, I'm glad that we can still feel the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah. Because after all, that's what we come for, to hear the Word and to feel His Spirit. So it's good to be here tonight.
Other than the fact that Brother Fitzsimmons mentioned that first course two or three times when he was here, and that's kind of what, you know, kept it in my mind. And then just sitting here since, singing the songs and everything and listening to what everybody has said, it's just brought more and more, you know, conviction about it and appreciation for the opportunity to follow. I thought, you can't follow somebody if they don't beckon you, you know, or call you to. And of course, it made me think of when Jesus called his disciples and he, you know, called them by name and said, come and follow me, you know. And then they had a choice to make. They had to respond one way or the other. But I got to thinking that, you know, that song said, regardless how I feel. And that's really what it gets right down to. You know, when you say, I will follow you, But today I don't feel like it. I don't want to follow you today, you know. If you'll just stop right there, Lord, let me take a vacation, and then I'll, you know, don't go off and leave me so I can't find you, but just wait, and I'll, you know, I'll start following you again tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. It's regardless. You know, once you make that choice, if he moves, you got to be ready to move. I've followed people in my car in cities or towns that I don't know, and boy, I'm not going to let them get too far ahead of me, you know. I'm going to stay right there because I know if I don't, they're going to be gone and I'll have no clue and I'll be totally lost. So, you know, and that's really the way we need to do. We really don't think of that, I think. I know I don't. I think, okay, you know, I'm tired. I'm taking off for today, you know. And God, that's not the way it works. He's been very merciful with me and allowed me to, you know, stay in sight so I can catch up or whatever. But, you know, I saw something just the other day this week that said, opportunity, often people don't recognize opportunity when it knocks because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. And I thought, how true that is. This really is a great opportunity, but it's work. It is work. God has called us to do a work. To follow him, we're going to have to work. It's going to require an effort. But in the end, it's all worthwhile. And I know that. I know that. That's where I want to keep my eyes on. Keep focused on that. And keep following. When I don't feel like it, keep following. When I'm not in control, Brother Curtis, keep following. Just hang in there, you know, and he'll come along. But I so appreciate I just appreciate him calling me. I appreciate him saying, come follow me. You know, in the Old Testament, if you were not an Israelite, you didn't have that opportunity. I mean, now, sort of. God did, and this is what I think is so amazing. God did recognize some people. In Matthew, where it gives the genealogy of Christ, it mentions, like, I think three or four women who were not Israelites but were in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The genealogy always goes through, you know, father, son, but these three cases, these were non-Israelite women who married into the line, and it mentioned them in the genealogy. You know, this was the one who married Rahab, or however it went, exactly. You know, and I thought, and I love to read that and think he knew. And that's the way it is now. He knows you might not be raised in the body. You might not live in the United States, which is, you know, we have the freedom we have. But somewhere, somehow, I believe God knows people's hearts. And he picks those out. And if you're desiring that, if you have the right heart, you're going to get called. You're going to get the call, and then it's up to you to respond and answer. So I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for what we know, for the spirit that we feel, for, you know, just being a part of what he's doing.
Yes.
I appreciate the service. Everybody's good testimonies. I'm not going to be up just for a few minutes. But the service was going along the lines of following Christ, and I believe that everybody in this room is endeavoring to follow the Lord. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. I think everybody wants to do and endeavors and strives to do the right thing. A curious thought here is this right here. Proverbs tells us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding. But yet at the same time, God gave man the intellect, the mind that you have. You can deem it on whatever level you want it to be on. And he gave you an intelligence and an ability to reason and an intellect, and the ability to understand, and even sometimes, a lot of times, most times, the desire to lean to that understanding that you've reasoned within yourself for the current situation. And I'll tell you a little story right quick, is then I'll relate it a little better, is in Oklahoma, there's a lot of mountains where we lived, and there was a lot of creeks and branches and different avenues for the water to get off the mountains, but it always come off the mountains, it always flood the valleys. And there's pictures, I've seen pictures where they was going down the highway, and it was 20 foot underwater, and they're checking the power poles out of a boat. Normally you drive, you know, on the highway that's 20 foot below that level. And so the Corps of Engineers went in and decided that they would build what's called watershed lakes. And they built watershed lakes all over these. There was Buzzard Gap and Pickles Gap and Coon Creek and all these different, Ventritos Lake was one of them, all these different lakes and tributaries and things like that to capture this water, to contain it, and then they would allow it to exit it, you know, once it come up, it'd go out the spillway, but it was all controlled. And that's the way a human is. And we all come into finding the Lord, whether you was born in this or not, you still had to, you was like that rain that fell upon those Sam Boys Mountains, and it was just rampant. and you're running to the excess, and I was running to the excess of right, and that wherever my spirit would take me and wherever my intellect would take me and whatever understanding I had of whatever was going on in my life that I wanted to however I wanted to handle that. And as a young man, I didn't listen real well. As an older man, I'm listening better. And I figure as an older man, I will probably be able to understand better. Don't you wish you could go back and talk to the 25-year-old version of yourself? My God, I just wish I could go back and talk to Saturday's version of me. I wouldn't have sat in the house. I think I could have figured out some things to do. But to my understanding, it was raining. But anyway, and it was. But so they controlled all that. Well, the Word of God comes into our heart. And it comes into our life. And it's like those watershed lakes all over Oklahoma. And it controls all of that. It controls our spirit. It controls our mind. Colossians, the second chapter, or is it third chapter? I think it's the second chapter. Tells us to mortify your members, to mortify the deeds. It goes through a whole list of getting rid of this and putting this off and putting this on. Getting rid of this spirit and accepting this spirit. And all those are controls that the Bible, through the Word of God, teaches us to help us. I dare think that if anybody's been sitting in the kingdom of heaven or even sitting underneath a good Baptist preacher for 20 years of their life is the same person that they were the day they walked into the church. You don't have to say a whole lot about other religions. You just got to live your life. The chips will fall where they will. And so the Spirit of God comes to us and it starts to control us. It starts to put things in place that cause us, before we lean to our understanding, to stop, pause, and consider. Once heard a man say, before I make any decision, I count to 10 and wait 3 days. I was thinking, boy, you're a slow counter. But what he was saying is, before I make any hasty move, sometimes it's better to make no decision than to make a wrong decision. You ever make a wrong one? Was that a time that I leaned to my own understanding? We was down around the Gulf. We went down to the Houston meeting here last year, and we decided to go down to the Gulf of Mexico. It's not Corpus Christi. What was that place? Galveston. And you can see where man has leaned to their own understanding all over that place. Because they built a hotel out into the water that is completely vacant and fallen in now. And sometimes we endeavor and strive to do things that is really beyond our ability to do. Doesn't mean that it can't be accomplished, but the end result of what's accomplished will probably be deteriorating in a matter of time. But what we're working on here is greater, it's everlasting, it's far more reaching. And God gave you an understanding, and he gave you an intellect. And he expects us to use that very thing in order to follow him. It's the way I see that. Maybe I'm looking at that backwards. It wouldn't be the first time. But I think that God gave us an intellect, and he's taught us these things. I don't have to. He told Paul, wasn't it? No, he told Peter. He said, when you was young, Peter, you girded yourself and went where you would. Well, he was just like that water that fell all over those mountains, and he just went wherever he wanted to go. There was no guidance there. There was nobody to control him. Nobody to corral him. In all aspects of life, you will find authority. Whether God's authority, man's authority, mom and dad's authority, the police, any kind, there's always something. Like right now, me and Brother Oates, we're going through the 72-hour DOT inspection. Now, we work hard all week long. He works harder than I do. He'll tell you that. But we work hard all week long to try to keep our vehicles going. But we get these emails, and they tell us, now, check this, this, and this, and we're going to have all the drivers check this because now we're having this inspection. When, if I'd been checking this all along, I wouldn't worry about that 3-day inspection, would I? It'd just be another 3 days. I wouldn't have to be concerning myself too awful much with, oh my goodness, we're going to have a big inspection. Ask yourself, if God was to come down right now and do a big inspection, what would he find? Huh? Are your brakes on? Are they stuck? You have problems with sticky throttles? I think that in following Christ is a lot easier sometimes than we make it out to be. Sometimes it seems so mystical, so hard. Maybe I was just taught that following the Lord is a lifelong thing. I learned how when I first started serving the Lord. I didn't have any idea. They said, do this, do that. I just done that. The little rabbit hop this way, the mama rabbit hop this way, and daddy had rabbit hop that way, so baby rabbit just hopped that way, just the way it was. Didn't think much about it. But as I got older, I wanted to know why I was hopping this way. I needed some understanding. And so we started gaining and developing understanding of the Word of God and things in our life. And here we sit today. And the song plays that, will you follow? I will follow you. Over mountains high, through the stormy seas, no matter where you're going to go, Lord, I'm going to go. I'm fully convinced that everybody in this room, for the most part, has made that their goal. I don't think there's anybody in here on the bubble. Learning how to appreciate other people and in their endeavor. You know, I have a motorcycle, and we all know these things since you hear me talk about it every once in a while. And you can talk to some people that got motorcycles, and they don't really like your motorcycle. They just talk about their motorcycle. It's all about their motorcycle. They don't talk about your motorcycle. But when you find somebody that they just love motorcycles, like Brother Painter put on Facebook one time, I just love motorcycles, all of them. Brother Brett's a lot like that. He just loves them all. I think he's got one of every kind, or at least had one of every kind.
Do what?
No trucks yet. That's the way it is in serving God. I just love the Lord. Whatever they're doing, hey, at least they're doing something. May not be doing what I'm doing. I can at least appreciate it on whatever level it is. To what extent that they're able to develop into that, then so be it. God's called us. I've asked Jody many a time. I don't have any idea why God ever called me to the body of Christ. I really don't. I think she wanted a husband. She prayed for a husband to go to church, so here I come along. I have no regrets about that either, by the way. Next Monday will be 23 years. And it's not like we was going down the road to a meeting one time with me and Brother Smith. We had this brother in the back of the truck or car, and he'd been married eight months, I think it was. And he goes, Brother Smith said, well, how are you enjoying married life? And he said, well, he said, it's good, I guess. He said, well, what does it feel like? He said, well, it feels about 8 hours underwater. So it wasn't going as good as he thought it was. They're trying to convince us. I find that serving God is just as good today as it was the day I found him and the day he found me. I think that everybody wants to try to follow the Lord, but as I was saying, we went down to, where'd we go, Joe? Galveston. And there's a scripture in Jude that says that the raging waves, of course, it's talking about preachers and what we liken to the Israel movement at the time that it's really casting off on. And it says the raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame. And that's the way this whole world works right now. The whole world is that way. It's always been that way. It's not a new development. It's always been that it's foamed up its own shame. But if we're not careful, we'll allow some of that to trouble the waters in our heart. We'll get too busy. Yes, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Of course, then he starts talking about wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. I really wanted to focus on that first part of that. And that's the way the world is. And if we're not careful, we're going to allow that spirit of this world to come in and trouble us. and keep us. And we can always talk about the foam of this world, but I don't care to talk about all the foam of this world. Sometimes I read the Drudge Report. I got the Drudge Report app, and Jody's in the kitchen cooking supper, and I'm sitting over there at a little breakfast nook, and I'm telling her these things in the news, and she's like, just be quiet with it. I'm tired of hearing it. I don't want to hear all that. And I'm like, well, you got to read this. Then you appreciate the Spirit that first come in here. How many is willing to say, I'll follow you, Lord? Let's say it. I'll follow you, Lord. Where? Over mountains high. When? Through the stormy seas. For how long? When I hear your voice. And then I'll see your face, as somebody just said a while ago, that whenever we shall see him, we shall know him, for we shall be like him. There's that working, that control, that was worked in Christ is now had its effectual working in us and has finally put that in us, that whenever something affronts our life, some of this foam of this world affronts our life, we're questioned on every corner. You know, I don't hardly ever get Bible questioned. I don't know why. I just live my life. I don't really try to run around nitpicking everybody else what they're doing. I just try to live my life and be a good person, and peradventure the Lord puts somebody in my path and I'll be glad to talk to them. And if he puts somebody on my heart, I'll be glad to talk to them. But I don't go around, what are you? Are you this? Are you that? There's some people it's easy to tell when they got a turban on what they are. Pretty much. But I just want to live a good life for the Lord. And let that he has done have its control and its working in my life, so that when I am confronted with these things, and I'm finding out every week as my family grows up, I'm finding out that there may be times that God's had to back up for me just to let me stay in the fold. You know that? There's been times I'm sure that God said, well, we would like to move forward here, but we're going to have to let you catch up. You know, the church, tell yourself this. If you're struggling in here, if you're having problems, just remember the church, nor the ministry, nor Christ will ever move faster than the slowest you in it. So long as you're endeavoring to move with it. I'm not talking about he's not going to drag us. But so long as we're endeavoring, he'll never run off and leave us. He'll never forsake us. It's easier for us to forsake him because we do lean to our own understanding. It's easier for us to sit here and reason out all these little intricacies of our life and not trust in the ministry that God's given us, and not even hardly even trust in and have enough faith in the Spirit that sits in us. And we all struggle with that. They struggled with it all through the Bible. Thousands of people struggled with the same things that me and you struggle with today. They didn't have to worry about whether it was going to be a Corvette or a Mustang. That wasn't their deal. They had other issues. How am I going to eat today? They worked from daylight to dark just to figure out how we're going to put something on the table. Now we work from daylight to dark just to figure out how we're going to keep everything and the table. And where you want to eat tonight? Does this make any sense to anybody? It's very easy to lean unto my own understanding. Because my own understanding, why God gave it to me, has been controlled by this nature of man within me, unfortunately, longer than Christ has controlled it. Even though I've been in the church since I was 16, I didn't really get rooted until I was about 28. Just the way it happened. We say I'll forsake all and I'll follow, but I don't really want to forsake it all. I just want to forsake some of it. I told the Lord when I started my business, I said, Lord, I need to be self-employed because I was pastoring this church and I need some time. But I found out that after I got off work that I wasn't using my time like I needed to use my time. Amazing how he'll always hold his end of the deal. But if I can probably slide him just a smidge here, then I'll do it. I'm timing myself. Anyway, I'll just leave us with that thought. Ask yourself, if God gave you that will and that intellect, how are you using that? I've told my boys, I can't make you successful in life. I can't do that. It's impossible. But what I can do is give you the tools to be successful. God cannot make you perfect. I'll go on record as saying that. He can't make you perfect. What he can do is give you the tools to help you reach that goal. But it's all in how you utilize that. I'll go back to the motorcycle thing. They teach us this rider safety course on how to do all this stuff, how to prevent falls and wrecks and crashes and death and all these other things. It's a really good course. I've never been through it yet, but everybody tells me it's really good. I'm going to rob Brother Nathan Painter's story for just a second. He got run off the road the other day due to a crash that somebody else had, and he got veered off the road. Didn't have no choice but just ride off in the ditch. But he had been taught that you don't lay the bike down and slide off in the ditch and just, like my dad did. One time my dad and me was going down the road on motorcycles, and he was in front of me, I was behind him, and we come around this corner. He didn't have a headlight. He was riding in my headlight. So as he went around the corner, I hadn't went into the corner yet, so he ran outside of my beam. And then as I come around the corner, I caught him back. When I come back around the corner and see my dad, he was sitting like an Indian on the side of that Suzuki GS400, skidding about 60 miles an hour down Lutie Road. It happened so fast. It was just a second. Well, they don't teach you how to survive that. That was just sheer dumb luck on his part. He did get some road rash, but anyway, but Brother Painter rode this bike off into the ditch, and he saved the bike. He didn't wreck, and he didn't crash or nothing. No injury to the nut, you know, no damage of any kind. I said all that to say this. That's because a measure of training had already put a control over that part of a spirit that would cause you to just react to a situation. And if we always find our life, I've got some things on my mind, but if we always find our life just always upside down and in turmoil and topsy-turvy and all these things just all the time, perhaps we haven't had enough control put there yet into that part of our life. I'm not saying all of it, but just that part of our life, because we're just doing what comes natural to us, which is just leaning to our own understanding. We're just moving about ourselves. And so I want to follow the Lord. I have to allow him. As Paul said in the 6th chapter of Romans, he said, that I would do, I do not. But that I do, I would not. All that he was saying there was, is that the Spirit of God in him had already took enough control that he was going to do it, but his flesh wasn't going to like it. But he still done it. Keep that simple. And yet we're faced with so many dynamics in our life. Each family is such a little, in a body, each cell is its own little organism, so to speak. There's parts inside of that all the time. There's mitochondria and all these different things inside of a cell. And in here, every family in this church is a cell. And we all are connected. And I want you to know that I appreciate each and all of you. I could call your name and say good things about each of you. Each and every one of you. And sometimes we need to try to, and I'm not the best at this. This is something I'm working on me right now. To try to lift up our brother. Try to encourage all of us. One cell can be a powerhouse if he wants to be that. Or one cell can be a cancer if he wants to be that. Just remember that. And so I just thank the Lord. I do. I really appreciate the service this evening. I appreciate the song service. I think when we all march out that door and we get in our little cars, I think we're all going to continue to serve the Lord. And we're still going to, wake up in the morning, we're going to say, Lord, what good can I do today? And Lord, what can I follow you through today? Because I think that's all of our heart. I really believe that. And I hope that that gets, I've hoped somehow that I've put enough in my child's life that they'll want to be a successful Christian. I believe I'm a successful Christian. I'm not saying I'm hitting 100. Okay? But I think I'm successful at it. You don't do something this long of your life and not be able to count yourself successful. However you want to believe in making the bride of perfection, I think we all have attained to a level of competency in following the Lord. And as our lives and time keeps coming to us and things get more and more topsy-turvy in this old world, then our ability to follow the Lord, you know, the closer I am to Him, the easier it is to follow Him. I got a call from a friend today who's trying to follow the Lord. He was going to go visit another church, another body church. Feels like God's calling to be a prophet. I'm just rambling, I guess, but anyway. Tomorrow morning, whenever you wake up and you get to your job, the first thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to have to decide whether you're going to lean to your own understanding or not tomorrow. It happens to us every day. God has given you what you need to be successful. So let's just keep on building, okay? Let's keep on working for God and doing what He'd have us to do. I think I'm going to close. Let us go home. My heart is actually heavy on the subject, but I don't want to say very much about it at this point. So I think I'll just call it good night. Sister Lynette, I want to thank you for those songs. And even though our band was sparse, I thank the ones that came and played for playing. I thank Brother Brett for always being on that bass. He's getting better, ain't he? And he's taught his son. Sister Bryant, always so, she and his son, by the way, but always good to get in there and pull behind the Spirit, to push. And Sister Cindy sits over there so quiet, but she ain't so quiet sometimes. Sister Inez and Brother Caleb, and I appreciate watching. Lean over here so I can see your face. Yeah, you, Brandon. Develop. Brother Weiniger, taking the place, still getting up. Didn't he do such a good job talking to us here just a couple weeks ago? Best I think I ever heard him do. Brother Daniels, don't say a whole lot, but when he does, it's from his heart. Brother Durham, I'll get to you in a minute, Brother Mark. Brother Durham over here, he's a good teacher. Good to work with Brother Smith, be an example to us younger men on how to work in order and how to be a gentleman. Brother Tally takes care of a lot of things that we don't realize. Right now he's got to deal with all this sleeping thing. I don't know about that. I couldn't do that. That's the truth. My idea was we've got all these church pews. We could just put bean bags and sleeping bags in all of them. Brother Mark's a good singer. Going to be a good preacher one of these days if he just keeps getting up and trying at it. Plays a good fiddle. Ain't it pretty? You hardly ever hear it. But then they zero in on it, and it's such a beautiful sound, isn't it? Sister Thompson down there in the kitchen. Haven't really understood all the pecking order of all that, and it's not really my place anyway, so I don't care. But runs the show down there. It's always clean. Food's always good. Ain't ever been served rotten tomatoes yet. I'm thinking. Brother Johnson, he's a good man, isn't he? Have you told him? Sister Fisher, all I got to do is watch Facebook. I know everything going on with her. Picture's worth 1,000 words. She's talkative, apparently. She'll figure that out later. Puts a lot of pictures on there. Pictures I don't know. I'm not from here. Remember that. So it's like a tutorial of what happened in the past. Brother Curtis, I skipped him there, not intentionally. Plays a good saxophone. Appreciate his testimony tonight. Trying to get control of his struggles. It's tough, ain't it? But you'll get there. It's going to be past my age. But I'm trying to get there too. But you will get there, I promise, because these other men are successful at it. Appreciate hearing him play. Brother Oates, I work with him every day. He's probably the most apologetic man I've ever met in my life. I've had to tell him, quit apologizing. You ain't done nothing wrong. He'll start the conversation with, well, I'm sorry, but I don't mean to embarrass him, but I love him to death. He costs me a lot of money every week. He's an expensive friend to have. No, I love him. He's really a dear friend to me. He really is. And appreciate Justice back here. He's my son, but I'm going to mention him. Sometimes we got to grab your son, grab your daughter, hug them up. Tell them what they mean to you. After a while, they're going to love you for more than what you can give. They're going to love you for really who you are. But they won't know that till they have their own. You might want to put that in your notepad, boys. Sister Joanne back there, I don't know what all she does. She's on the PA. She's over here. She's over there. Every time there's something going on, she's there. Never expects a lot of praise and never asks for hardly anything. And I don't think I've ever heard her gripe about anything. Never heard a negative word come out of that woman's mouth. I ain't talked to her that a whole lot. I don't know, Brother Brad. You'd have to answer that. But he's a smart man. Brother Jerry's a good man. Good electrician. He wired up my lights. And they work better than 50% of the time. The other time, there's a smell that I can't figure out. I think it's electrical fire, but I'm not for sure. No, he's good. He's a pretty good electrician. Better than me, so I can't complain. So forth and so on. Sister Crow, good to give testimonies. And I tell you, I think Brother Fred Stewart is such a gentleman. That's the truth. If there's a person my boys could be like better than me, I think I'd want him to be like Brother Fred. He's a good worker. From everything I can tell, a man's always got his work boots on. He's probably got his work boots on now. If you got a man, woman, if you are a woman in here and you got a man that works, you ought to give him a big kiss every night. You ought to tell him, thank you. Brother Phil, you better get ready. You had it made. Now you got to go back to work. Sister Crow, good testimonies as always. Sister Crow reminds me of Sister Lineker. No matter what was going on, I've seen this happen. Being in the service, I was at a Christmas Day service up in Ponca City one time, and it was abysmal service. That's just the truth. I mean, the preachers couldn't get hooked up. Piano players couldn't. Nobody could do anything. And the reason was is because we was thinking about them presents. On Christmas Day, we drove 6 hours, and we got up, and all we could talk about was Christmas. And really what we're saying is, I just want to open a present and feel young again. Somebody give me something for free. Dear God. Yeah, it was just a bad service. You know, we have those. Even have them here occasionally. Sister Leonarder got up. And it's the first time in my life I ever experienced what salt in somebody's life can actually do. And she started playing, and you know, her old voice is just so creaky and croaky. And, she played the keys off that piano. And she started singing, and it's about half a note off right at first. And she kind of cleared up and got going. And nobody ever noticed. I mean, as soon as she took off, that whole service just went up like a Roman candle. You can feel salt in somebody's life. I hate to know that I'm 80 years old and nobody can feel any salt in my life. That's bad. So I appreciate salt. It's about the best compliment I know how to give somebody, to be honest with you. And if you understand what salt in somebody's life is, it's really a great compliment. Brother Painter, he just does everything that makes us sound good, preachers and piano players. He don't have auto-tune up there yet, but if he had it, don't you know how good we'd sound? Got him a little protege up there in Jaron. Appreciate my oldest son as well. He's a good man. Striving to be a better man. And Brother Fisher, what can be said of him? He grew up here amongst you. One of your own. God's worked in his life. Don't you appreciate that? What does somebody got to do? So I wasn't here watching you grow up as a kid, but I appreciate you being here as a man. You're an encouragement to me. Brother Fleming. You can always count on Brother Fleming. He's like Old Faithful. But I do enjoy him. He's interesting for sure. First time I ever seen him, he shook my hand, introduced himself, and we was downstairs sweeping. He said, you know I do 30 push-ups a night? I went home and tried to do 30. Thought, am I going to get bested by an old man? I was shaken by number 30. But I can honestly say I can do 50 now, thanks to my son and P90X. Brother Wallace, I haven't known you very long, but I do appreciate you. Appreciate you coming here, and I appreciate your spirit when you come up for prayer. I don't know your past, but I know if you keep doing what you're doing, I can help you. I can help tell your future. That's for sure. So God bless you. And Sister McGowan, you're like my grandma. I just love you dearly. And all the ones that ain't here. I hugged Elsie the other night, and just my heart just went out to her. Such a trooper. My goodness. Makes me feel ashamed. Three drops of water hit the windshield, and I'm ready to go back home. Here's a woman, got 2 foot in the intestine, living off liquid all the time. Can't wait to get to church. Wow. I think that's pretty much the gauntlet of everybody in here. Last but not least, I'd say my wife, I love her. I'm going to take her home with me, though. Stop by Sonic. So I've been with you a while, and I could tell you more intimate things about yourself that I know. I just wanted to thank you for being who you are and being a cell inside this little church and let me be a part of you. God bless. I'll see you guys Sunday. We're having a men's breakfast Saturday, 8:30. Brother Tally. Okay. He's saying that if you have any questions, you can ask him. Text him, call him, email him. Carrier pigeon. I want to say I appreciate Brother Nathan Smith, too. He's a good friend to my son. I don't know how good they click and what trouble they get into, and I'm scared to find out. I'm just not going to go digging. Just better to not know. Anyway, but I do appreciate you being a friend to him. He needed a friend, and he found one in you. So if anybody wants to pick up another adoptee, take justice. Anyway, good night, and the Lord bless you.